Once again, for loading me down and queuing me up, I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the man from Oregon who started a gold rush in California. Didn't benefit much from it. He was driven from Oregon's Willamette Valley by the spring rain, and he probably would have been a lot happier if he'd stuck it out, because the summer would have been coming, and, well, I'll tell you the story. It was first published on May 26, 2009, under the headline, Man from Oregon Started Gold Rush, but Didn't Benefit Much. Here we go. The story of the beginning of the California Gold Rush is a pretty well-known story, but what's not quite so well-known is the fact that it was started by an Oregonian. His name was James Wilson Marshall, and of course he wasn't originally an Oregonian. He was a carpenter from New Jersey who'd come on out on the Oregon Trail to set up a farm in the Willamette Valley. Well, like all the emigrants, he traveled all summer and arrived as the rains were getting started. Several months of uninterrupted precipitation later, Marshall decided he'd had enough. Quote, "Reckon I wasn't cut out for farming life," he said, and packed up and headed south. He ended up in Sacramento, where a wealthy landowner named John Sutter hired him to build a water-powered lumber mill. Sutter was building the lumber mill to make the lumber that he would need to build a flour mill nearby, which was where he actually expected to make his money, processing the wheat he was growing. Not long afterward, Marshall was widening the tail race of the mill by opening the sluice gate at night to cause torrents of water to erode the channel. For safety reasons, he couldn't do this during the day, but he'd come back and check progress when the sun came up. Well, one morning when Marshall was doing this, he saw something glittering underwater. An hour or two later, Marshall showed up unexpectedly at Sutter's house, soaked through in a downpour. Rain seemed to be a continuing part of Marshall's life out west. He asked to speak to Sutter privately, and then showed him several ounces of very nice gold nuggets that he had pulled from the tail race. Surprisingly, Sutter's first thought seems to have been for his mills. He begged everyone to keep the discovery secret for just 6 weeks, just to give him time to finish the lumber mill and flour mill. He was a developer, not a miner. So he toiled away, racing against time to save his $25,000 investment as $1 million worth of gold crunched beneath his feet. Of course, word got out. Of course, the labor market dried up as every able-bodied worker grabbed a gold pan and hit the hills. Of course, the mills languished and Sutter lost his investment. He tried hiring miners to look for gold, but as you can imagine, this didn't work out particularly well. One assumes they simply pocketed what they found. Then, Sutter found himself plagued with aggressive squatters who hired lawyers to try to defeat his land claim, which was through the Mexican government because California was part of Mexico until the end of the war in 1848. The squatters also filched food from his fields and stole his cattle. Quote, "By this sudden discovery of the gold, all my great plans were destroyed. Had I succeeded for a few years before the gold was discovered, I would have been the richest citizen on the Pacific shore, but it had to be different. Instead of being rich, I am ruined," he wrote in 1857 in Hutchings, California magazine. Well, as much as it must have sucked to be him, Marshall fared even worse. The squatters forced him off his land, and he lacked the resources to fight them. Like Sutter, he became a miner only reluctantly and not very successfully. He tried a vineyard, but it didn't do well for him either. In the end, he wound up in a tiny cabin, eking out a living with a subsistence garden. Ironically, if he'd stayed in the Willamette Valley just one more month and experienced Oregon in the dry part of the spring, he probably would never have left, and his great-grandchildren might still be farming his land there today. Well, that's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and would like some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com, the complete catalog of about 200 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed, in case you'd like to join the conversation. The website's also where you'll find citations to sources for this story, which in this case include a book by Ralph Friedman and sfmuseum.org. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. This podcast is proudly in the Creative Commons. The license is attribution share alike. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. That's it for today. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be talking about the deadliest non-dam-related flash flood in the history of the United States of America. It struck a little town in northern Oregon, the town of Heppner, and killed one out of every six citizens there. Look for that story after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And in the meantime, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.